At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Everybody, welcome to the Midnight Paco Podcast. As always, you can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on all platforms.
I am the underscore great underscore C-O-R-E-E. That's where you can find me, or you can find us both on the Midnight Paco Podcast.
That's right.
This dude has a website.
JustinFullerComedy.com. Check it out.
As you can see, ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special guest today.
We do.
We have a fellow comedian.
Yes.
Rapper.
Yes. No. Woo. Maybe. Sometimes.
Rapper. I got his CDs. Music producer.
Producer, sure.
Nice.
Show producer.
Sure.
Yes.
Father.
Yes. Absolutely.
Husband.
Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jamel Burner Rankin.
Oh, no.
Where can they find you, man?
At Burner216 or Jamel Burner Rankins on Facebook. That's about it. No, I don't have a TikTok.
You don't?
You don't have a TikTok.
Why not?
Just because I don't like TikTok.
Okay.
And
we can move on from that question. Or what's that new one? Threads?
Threads.
Anybody else on Threads?
I am on Threads, but I
what is it?
Are you on Threads?
I have no, I don't know. I don't understand. It does like, everything for
that's
me.
That's like Twitter, isn't it?
I don't know.
It's the Instagram
it's
Twitter.
It's the better universe. I don't know.
It's the Instagram Twitter. I don't Twitter. Got none of that shit. I ain't got that either.
If you want to find me, come find me.
Where at?
I'll at the Pop Puff Laugh Show.
Put the shirt. You got a shirt?
Well, I ain't no real time.
You got a shirt, though.
Hey, we got all kinds of merch. Pop Puff Laugh Show, we do it once every month, every third Friday at lounges. We'll get into that a little bit later, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Pop Puff Laugh is a new venture.
I like the shirt, though.
Appreciate it.
It's dope.
That's like right down my alley.
Yeah, it's going to go on the wall, shirt of walls.
Yes, it is. That is a marijuana leaf with a microphone and a blunt. Dope as fuck.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
So, yes. How long have you been doing comedy?
See? About 15 years.
Yeah.
Since 2015.
Okay.
With a 3-year hiatus during the pandemic. So.
Almost.
Yeah.
That's dope.
So, since 2015.
Yeah. What a lot of people don't know is... when I first started doing comedy, you know, with Justin said he was doing comedy. I made a phone call, and mm-hmm. the first person I called was Jamel Burner Rankins.
Yep.
And
I always wondered if you remembered that I started your comedy
career. Oh, tell like, exactly.
I had it always in me, but I never heard you ever tell the story. You know what? Burner actually sparked my comedy career.
Oh.
Because I kind of did, but I ain't never want to be the one to say it, but I'm saying
I told everybody.
He tells everybody.
I tell everybody.
I love you.
You've
brother.
Been mentioned on this podcast plenty.
Plenty of times. And I've always said what you told me. Yep. Like you said, don't let the laughs get to me. You said, don't let the lack of laughs get to me. And that's something that I even passed that to the newer people that starts. It's something that I remember and always remember. And it was like, you know, and it still stands true like 5 years later.
I said that shit? That was some D-Hawk shit because I don't believe that.
Wise words. And you said you gave me some good people to reach out to.
I did.
You said D-Hawk. we still connected. I talk to D-Hawk almost every day. Jin Jin. You said reach out to Jin Jin. You said Marcus Martin. And I reached out to all those people. I think you even said...
I think I gave you one more.
It was probably Bruton.
I think I told you Sean Showtime or Joey. Either one of them two.
Okay. Yeah, I think it was Sean Showtime.
It was sure. Showtime. And me and Showtime got a relationship, you know. And, you know, we actually went to high school together. Okay. But didn't know each other. But yeah, you know, all of those were good connections. They still solid to this day. And that was good advice. And, you know, the advice that people ask me, I tell them the same thing. Don't let the laughs get to you. The lack of laughs get to you. And
they don't laugh at my shit, man. I talk about it, man. I let them laugh.
You know what? That's like it to me. That's like.
Oh, so you want to use the crowd? You suck.
Yeah, I tell the crowd they suck. They don't laugh at my shit. My shit is tried and true.
No, but what you said it resonated so well because it's
That's real. Yeah, I feel
it. It's super real because it's like
it's super real.
I did
real.
The same set that killed. The same set that was like crickets. And you can't let it get to you. Yeah, naturally it does, but then like looking.
I mean, when you know that something that you say is funny and you know it works, when a crowd don't laugh, inside you're like, it's them. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, most of the time if I'm at a comedy show and people ain't laughing, they ain't laughing the entire show. They didn't pick my set to stop laughing. You know what I'm saying? So
it's just something.
And not that I'm the funniest man in the world. I ain't saying that. I'm just saying that I know that even if a joke fails, I'm going to turn that into that awkward moment into something funny. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, y'all ain't like that shit? Oh, so you know.
Y'all sensitive.
Like, I turned it back on them because I learned that from like people like Patrice O'Neal and other comics, Bill Burr. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't let nobody booing them or heckling them or not laughing at their jokes deter them from saying it. They'd be like, oh, y'all didn't like that? Whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is what it is. So that's how I truly feel. But I mean, those were true words, and I'm glad you were able to take those words and internalize them to make, you know, yourself, you know, give you some more motivation to get on stage. Because when you told me you wanted to get on stage, you know, other people had called me, you know, before they got on stage the first time. And, you know, I tell them all the same thing. Like, you know, it ain't what you think it's going to be, but it can be everything you want it to be depending on what you want out of it. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I give them my spiels. Like, I don't do open mics. I'm one of them comedians that don't believe in open mics.
Why is that?
Because elaborate. I don't feel like making other comedians laugh is a measure of if my joke was funny or not. I'm not a joke writer. I'm a situational comedian. So if I see something and I'm interacting with something or I find something funny, I got to write it down immediately. Like, oh, that was funny. Because I can't. I'll never sit for an hour and come up with jokes. That's just never been my thing. So people who do that, I can see them doing open mics because that may be their way of practicing a joke on people. But to me, my test to see if a joke works is to do it in front of a crowd. And I need a crowd to judge if a joke's funny or not. And I've said some jokes that were not funny before.
Right, you know
what I'm saying? And I'm like, oh, y'all ain't like that one? Okay, I got other ones. You know what I'm saying? And I just keep it moving.
But that's coming from a place where, all right, so you're speaking to a person that maybe new to a stage that you're not. You're not new to a stage.
Yeah.
Like, from a person that's like new to a stage and never really like did comedy before, they might need open mics. Open mics may be necessary for people, but
I did do a well, if you're talking about my rap career or
that's
my
new to a stage, because you know, because public speaking is one of the biggest fears of people.
I did already have that conquered at that time. So.
And so let's dig deeper than that. Like, okay, so when I met you, you were doing music, you were making beats, and your music has gotten, not saying it was bad, but it's gotten way better than from when you.
Well, it should.
I mean, progress. I'm talking about way. I mean,
damn.
No,
I'm talking about way. Wait, so you mean that first shit I sent you that you told me was dope? It really wasn't. No, it was just dope for the time.
It was dope for the time.
And then as time progressed, I've gotten better.
You've gotten way better. Can see some of my work with my shirts compared to what they are now.
Artists supposed to do that, though. If you're an artist, the way you start shouldn't be the way you are currently. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Right. So if you know what I'm saying, the way if that's what any art. If you you know, when you started drawing, you started with stick figures and then you graduated to other shit. So
right.
You would expect somebody to grow and they craft. So yeah, you're right.
So it was like, okay,
I'm still.
I still have hard shit back then.
It was too hard though.
I mean, you know, hey, look,
shit was dope. I've always
the Protoculture years was dope, man. You got those albums, don't you?
I don't have Protoculture, but I got a lot of nappy heads and Go Live Grizzly stuff. You know, I got
Protoculture was 97 to 03. Nappy was like 03 to 09.
And I got a green Nappy Head shirt too.
Yeah, Nappy was the shit. Nappy is the shit. Nappy for life. NFL. Yeah. So, but yeah, my music career, basically I made beats and I had dudes that rapped over beats and we tried to start, you know, Wu-Tang type collections, you know what I'm saying?
Okay. So let me just share this with you, and then you may remember, may not remember. So I've been hearing about the Nappy Heads because I used to be in a dance crew myself back in the 90s.
Oh, shit.
A dance crew?
Oh, yeah. Shit.
I'm not laughing. I'm laughing, though. What was the name of the dance crew?
It was B-O-A-K. And look, let me tell you.
Oh, shit.
So, like.
Brothers right, of a kind?
Another kind. Oh, so you familiar?
No, I just figured out the acronym, but go ahead. He said, oh, so you familiar? Yeah, nigga, I was practicing
but see. No, let me tell you,
you didn't know.
No, go ahead. All right, so Nappy Heads, I knew they was like from the Shaker area. I was from the Buckeye area.
Okay, nearby.
All right, nearby, and it was like, and maybe I imagined the whole thing, but I was at a Crisscross show at the IX Center, and like the Nappy Heads just like stepped to me and stuff. They was like doing their little dance and stuff, and I was like, why are they challenging me? Like, who am I? How y'all know who I am? You know what I'm saying? I'm by myself. I'm with my girl.
And they would challenge you with like moves.
Damn.
Like, yeah, what you got?
He's stepping up to him.
What year was this? 81?
Whenever Crisscross came out with Jump, I was like.
So this is 91, 92-ish?
Around, has to be around that.
So somebody stepped to you with some moves like, hey, man. hey, you ain't got this. And you couldn't defend yourself?
I did.
Okay, so
by myself.
So what move did you hit back? What was your counter move? You was like, y'all don't know nothing about this. What?
Sizzler.
I'm seeing it.
Gotta get up and do it now.
And F that.
But
did they jump dance you?
Lightweight. It was
so it was like three niggas, but they had a line going where he touched
so everything.
I'm just standing there. And I'm like,
you need to make a joke about this.
I'm just standing there,
hilarious story.
I'm at the IX Center by myself with my girl.
This is the
beat it. Yeah, this is the telling beat it story.
This is real.
Look, this is real.
Okay, so you had the IX Center with your girl. Niggas stepped to you.
They just stepped to me.
What you got?
Yeah, I'm like
Crisscross in the background. Do what Jump was on.
Impressed with Crisscross because they had their shit together. They like did their little monologue of all their songs, and they was professional as hell. I thought it was gonna be some bullshit little kid shit, but Crisscross was on point.
Okay, so get to when you got your served.
Man, they
when you got served. Let's move to that part.
Yeah. I mean, I never said I got served.
You got served, bro. They
that is.
Before they called it, you guys say, what were they calling it back then? They dissed you, they got you.
They got
you
me.
Cold crushed.
I mean, because I was by myself and they was with a crew, so it was just like.
Let me explain Nappy Head to you. Nappy Head was a lot of things. Nappy Head, prior to my induction into Nappy Head, was a dance crew in the 80s.
So I'm not lying.
A fight gang-ish type crew in the 90s.
All the fights.
And then. It then developed into a music crew in the late 90s, going into 2000s. My involvement with Nappy Head was strictly music. I wasn't in the dance crew. I wasn't in the fighting parts, you know, back when they was in high school.
I'm from Buckeye, so.
So, but Shaker, yeah, you're right. Had the history of Nappy Head Pool when a lot of these cats brought Nappy Head up as far as through all these things. When it became a music crew, when we were doing Kings of the Iron Mike shows for 15 years and doing all that stuff, that's when I was involved in it. So I was one of their main producers
of Nappy Head.
So did you know that I was working with Under the Tree?
I don't know who that is.
My fault, bro. Mm-hmm.
That's the first hip-hop. That's Abdul Salam, the Mason Brothers. You know, when Abdul Salam was, well, Val was doing the Club Hennessy. That was the first, like, hip-hop club.
Where was Club Hennessy?
117.
And what? 117. Oh, I ain't go to the West Side, man, back then. Mm-hmm. If you ain't talking about the Cotton Club, Rhythm Room, the Odeon, the shit on the East Side, we didn't go to the West Side to do no rap shows.
Yeah, because that's where it originated. The Cleveland hip-hop scene kind of originated over there.
The West Side Cleveland hip-hop
scene. Mm. No, bro, I'm from Buckeye, so it was like, you know.
Listen, there's some history I'll admit that I don't know, so you might be schooling me on something.
Yeah,
I didn't.
Yeah, that's what we used to have. Suave Gotti come with karate suits.
Yeah, now Suave was definitely a staple in hip hop.
He was
history.
The Pink Panther gangster, so it was
Cleveland hip hop history starts for me like in the Harvard area, because that's
okay.
Well, I was first hearing Big B and Brother for the Struggle, okay. I guess, was the first one.
Paycheck.
Yeah, but that was all, like, on the East Side. So it was, like, and then when I got hip to, like, producers like Jazz Mark and
Battle Cat.
Yeah, all those cats. I knew them dudes, but I didn't work with them and stuff. And so, like I said, I didn't get into making beats and music until, like, 97.
Yeah.
So that was early 90s when they was doing that. And I didn't get into, like, 97 and on.
It was definitely them. They was, like, the only go-to dudes.
How old were you? How old are you now?
How old I look, man? Because I'm telling you about a lot of stuff about
my age. I know. That's what I'm saying. You look like my age.
You look like my age.
My birthday is 7/6/76. So,
okay, I got a year over you. I got a year over you.
You got two over me. Okay. All right. So we're in the same, man. Okay, I was like, I'm thinking 97. I'm thinking, how old were you in 97?
You don't put no TikTok in your beard or nothing, huh?
Nah, man. I don't. I thought about, like, when I got married, I thought about putting, like, some mascara.
Nah, you don't do that.
I didn't want the tears to make it run. Because I knew I was going to cry. And I was like, man, I'm not that dude, man. The grays don't do what the grays do.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
No, man, but.
You know, I had dreadlocks for a bunch of years. They fell out. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, once the bald spot started growing, and yeah, I couldn't wrap Swami them bitches up at no higher than what it was. Yeah, so
very good on doing it on your own. We didn't have to have an intervention.
No, I did it on my own. What happened was my loctician left town, the one who was hiding all the balls. She left town, moved to New York, and the new loctician I got, she was heavy handed, and she was over twisting and just
parting it.
So she was just doing extra shit and started snapping it out. And it was just, at that point, you know, it was 2009. I cut my hair off. It was a whole new world. Yeah.
So where did you get over your public speaking? Was rapping the first thing you did, or like?
Funny story about that is they used to call me the Willie Beeman of rap. You know who Willie Beeman is?
Yeah.
From First Sunday, or what was it called?
Any Given Sunday. Yeah. What was he noted for?
Beeman.
Well, that song, but I'm just saying, like, what would he do? Every time he went in, he would do what?
Score.
No. He would throw puke. Up.
Yeah.
For years, I would throw up.
Get out of here.
Every time
Mom's
I got on stage.
Nervous.
It was me with niggas and other. Every time I got on stage, I would have to run off and find a garbage can, throw up, and then get back on stage.
I can imagine.
It was inevitable that it would happen.
Wow.
Inevitable. It's only happened one time in comedy, and it was actually very recently.
Mm. Wow.
I don't know if y'all remember that when it happened, when I was hosting the show. And I had to get off stage fast because I was like, "Oh, it's coming!"
Oh, wow.
And I don't know why it hit me then, but I don't know what that was. But that anxiety hit me every time I got on stage. But I had to work through it. I had to figure out what that was and why it was. I remember I won a beat battle one time in Columbus. I mean, and when they was playing my beat. And the crowd was reacting, nigga. I had to run off stage, throw
he
up.
Loves
it.
He loves throw up.
Why do you love throw up?
He doesn't. It's like his. Oh, it's like his.
That's my kryptonite. Like that's my kryptonite.
Yeah.
Like when you said that the Dare worked on you. When I used to watch the Dare movie, They used to have somebody throw up in the movie. I'm like, yeah, I'm cool. If throw up is involved, yeah, I'll never be involved with it. Never at all.
So, nope. So getting over public speaking, that one took me a while because, like I said, getting on stage. How long? Years, man, years. I thought it would happen when I first started doing comedy because, you know, it just would happen every time.
Yeah.
The nervousness came, and it occurred, and actually, the nervousness happens every time before I get on stage.
Yeah, I love to hear that. It's me too. Yeah,
everybody, I get nervous every time,
all the time
for some dumb reason. Yeah. I've been on stages a million times
because you care,
and every time before I get on stage,
it's because
I get
you care.
That's but what. I've learned to work more off. You know what I'm saying? More so now than when I was in my because in rapping you gotta. In rapping, you got to remember your rhymes and you got to remember that. That's, you know, I was worried about all that, looking at sound a certain way. But in comedy, it's kind of like I could relax and just be who I am. And it was cool because it's like, you know, I had to get comfortable up in there.
Yeah.
Hosting shows helped with that, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Getting into hosting helps with getting comfortable because you go up there multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
So, when I got into comedy, I found my niche very quickly in hosting.
So you didn't do school plays or nothing like that?
No, I wasn't no thespian in school, man. I wasn't one of those people, man. I probably should have been, and I'm not dissing them, but the fact that you thought I was.
You like way to Brainiac, bro.
Well, because
so it's
if
like,
you're so good on, if you're good in front of people, he assumes you've always had that thing in
class
you.
Class clown. I was class clown.
Okay.
I've noted in the yearbook, in the superlatives, I was the class clown. So that's my public. I was, and perfect attendance, because that was my audience. I always went to school because I made people laugh.
Right.
Look, people
that's
always,
my friends were. Shit.
People always accuse me of a brainiac and overthinker, but, you know, it's, I think he got me a little bit, just a little bit.
Well, brainiac and overthinker are two different things. I mean.
But I'm saying you both, though.
I'm neither. I'm always looking to learn. You know what I'm saying? I never think that I know enough to know it all.
I told this dude one time, I don't know if he remember, I was like, look, man, I probably got to get another phone. And I told him why. He was like, yeah, well, it's probably either the connector or the connection to the phone or the charger. Either way, it's a problem. And he broke it all down to me. He had like a whole 30-minute conversation about why my phone is not charging. You remember that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then what happened?
I had to get another phone. Yeah. But, but it's like, you know, it was like me talking to myself. You know, like, it was like.
Yeah, no need to do all that.
That was an answer that I would have gave myself, but it was, you know.
There's a lot of smart, dumb niggas out here, man. You know, people who think they know. Yeah, that's fine. And, you know, I respect everybody for knowing what they know, but know that you don't know it all, too. You know what I'm saying? That's all I say.
Definitely.
Incorporate that into.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, man. But so like, all right, so you didn't do school plays, but you went straight to rapping. Like, that was your first stage?
Yeah. Rapping was my first stage.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
and
it's
then
like.
At what point did you want to say, I'm going to try comedy?
Oh, like I said, I was doing podcast. I said.
Prior to the show.
Previously.
Off screen.
Yeah. I was doing podcasts for years. So I got to this podcast game in 2009. I started doing a podcast called The B-Side. That kind of blew up real, real big. And I got real, you know, comfortable in like radio type, you know,
setting.
Broadcasting,
okay.
You know, putting my voice out there, and then I wanted to put my face out there, so I wanted to, you know, had cameras and all of that. So I was podcasting from, I want to say 2012, from 2012 over, I mean, all the way up until like 2022 is when I stopped really podcasting hard. I was, you know, because my last podcast was Fuck Your Couch with my nigga Sivek. We did
shout
that for 5
Sivek.
Years. Yeah. It was pretty much, you know, similar to y'all, you know, it was two niggas on the couch is what we called it, pretty much. And we just sat there and got high and talked about, you know, stuff. But, you know, we had a good time. My podcast career got me, you know, back on a mic. And then when I met D-Hawk, when I got him involved in a podcast that I was doing called Thinking Out Loud, I met D-Hawk, and he agreed to be a co-host on my podcast I was starting. And, you know, from there, you know, he introduced me to stand-up because he was doing it, and he invited me on a stage. And I got on stage in 2015 and had a few jokes that was funny. I don't even remember my first. I think I do have a joke. I remember a joke that I used to do that he used to tell me, never do this joke again.
You want to do it now?
It was one of them jokes. I still remember. remember it. I would say that I can't do an impression. Like, I'm bad at impressions, uh-huh. but I'm excellent at impressions of people doing impressions of someone else. So, like, I could do Bill Cosby as the Incredible Hulk.
Okay. How so?
Quaaludes. But again, it's a dumb joke. But I was high, and it was funny to me.
Right.
So you was the Incredible Hulk doing Bill Cosby.
I could be somebody being somebody else. Like, yeah, I could do those kind of impressions. I'm great at somebody trying to do somebody else.
Right. Yep.
Neil Carter as Godzilla. You know what I'm saying?
Give me a break.
And I can do.
I see why
I used to do that joke.
I see why D Hawk said, but you know what?
It's funny. Y'all are laughing.
No. Look. I guarantee that would work at night. Look. At a spot.
Look, if you're, I get
if
it because
if I'm you're in the groove, you can say some shit. And
I worked
would,
a couple times.
I sang Give Me a Break so many times. My mother said, if I sing it again, so I got to get out.
So if you just say, I can do an impression of. I can't do an impression of Neil Carter, but I can do an impression of Neil Carter trying to be.
That's hilarious.
Somebody else. then it comes off good.
So
where you at now?
No, but okay, because I basically want to get to the you know, I always emphasize, like, you know, how did you get over your stage fright? What was it? You know, because that's a big feat for most people. Like, once you get over that. Your comedy is like, you know you got material, you know you're funny, but you got to get over your stage fright. You got to get over, like, people looking at you and feeling like you're being judged.
You know what, though? That second point, I think people take it for granted, though.
What's that?
Knowing that you're funny. A lot of people think they're funny.
Yeah.
And they're not.
True.
They're funny for certain people. Situations
and people too.
You might be funny around your family.
Yeah.
You might be funny around, you know, your friends. Getting on stage is a different animal.
Bad.
And I got a cousin who wanted to, you know, back when I was doing comedy down at D-Hawk used to do a thing down at this bar called the Dog Pound. Yes. Now, if you know the Dog Pound is a hood bar, and them niggas did not come there for no comedy show. They came there to drink.
Not at all.
And you had to fight that crowd every week as far
literally,
as
or get stabbed.
But my cousin thinking that, oh, comedy's easy, you just get up there. Plus he knew a bunch of people up there.
Yeah.
He got up there. And again, day one, he killed. Cause everybody seen, oh, Mark, get up on stage. He wanna do it again. Yeah, he comes back the next time.
None of his peeps there.
It bombed. You know what I'm saying? So I said to say, being funny isn't, you know, and then you hear this cliche now.
Mm-hmm.
Being funny doesn't translate to stage. So a stage is different, and being on a stage, you know what I'm saying? Like, I got a friend of mine now, I think he's hilarious. If he would sit and write some jokes and purposely deliver them, he would be an amazing, he would be like the next Bernie Mac.
Mm.
But he ain't got that much faith in his stand-up, you know what I'm saying? But, you know what I'm saying, he could kill out here if he focused on it, because he's that funny in person. You sit and talk to this guy, you ain't doing nothing but laughing from the time you start talking to him to you finally say, you gotta leave because right. I'm sick of laughing. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's that funny, but it doesn't translate on stage the way he wants it to. So it's about finding that formula. I mean, even shit that I find funny in normal life, I can't just say, hey, yo, it was funny when it, because they ain't gonna, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
You ever find something, it is, though. Yeah, you
that's
ever find something funny when you high and then you get sober and then you think about it and be like, that was not funny at all. Like, I was cracking up last night. Like, it was the funniest shit ever.
It's mine, I think.
Yeah, somebody phone doing something. But yeah, it's just, you know, just being able to know what stand up is and respect the fact that, you know, and learning how to do jokes in front of black people is a whole different thing too, because you got to make black people laugh.
Speak on it. So it's not a secret that there's black rooms, there's mixed rooms, there's white rooms, there's older rooms, there's younger rooms. Like, like, how do you, like?
I mean, I can do all of them. I don't differentiate. Well, I can do all of them, and because my comedy is kind of like, you know, I have a lot of dirty comedy, but I have a comedy that's very universal. It's like I don't have like just black people this or just black, you know what I'm saying? I don't have just black people relatable comedy is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
I have people relatable comedy. You know what I'm saying? If you ever had kids, or if you ever been married, or if you ever had sex, everybody had, you know, everybody had all that stuff. You ever took a shit? You know what I'm saying? Like, this is something everybody does.
Right.
I don't have, you know, the get down with just the black people jokes as much. And so for black crowds, when it's just black people like Dog Pound and stuff like that, a lot of times you have to make those people laugh. They don't want to think. They don't want no joke to, you know, they just want to be make me laugh. Mm-hmm. So getting used to that and then transitioning with doing other crowds, it ain't hard for somebody like me, because like I said, I can do a little bit of everything, but I can see it being hard for certain people.
It ain't even hard for me, thank God, but I can see how it is. It's a problem, you know what I mean? Especially because a lot of those rooms are tight. People are there, you know what I mean? They're right.
It's never been a problem.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, in a, you know, like as a comedian, when you're like different rooms, you have like stages, you have rooms that are small, tight, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So you're like personable with people. So it's, you got to have a certain energy and a certain, you know, you got to have an array.
Like I said, you have a wide array of
material
as far as relatable stuff.
Yes.
If you just got, you know what I'm saying, black people stuff that, and you're in front of a white crowd, you probably can get it off. Cause that dude, what's that dude that's the new SNL cast member? The black dude, Cam Williams.
That's
a straight nigga, but he has a completely white crowd.
He on SNL now?
He's from Kill Tony.
That nigga's all nigga, but he cooning out. He cooning out for SNL. Like, I don't know. It's hard for me to differentiate if that's just him being him or if it's cooning. I don't know. It's hard for me.
Have you seen him on Kill Tony?
Yes, he's funny. Yeah, I like him.
I mean, this is no shot, but I think him and Pope is the same person.
Him and who?
Pope.
Who is Pope?
The comedian Pope with all the hair.
I ain't hip, man.
You ain't hip?
No.
He from here.
You know who Pope is? Y'all know? Oh, okay. Yeah. We gotta get him.
No, he's funny.
Oh, yeah, he's funny. Let's get him on the show.
But him and Cam, I was like, they kind of remind me of each other a little bit. So that's
Midnight Paco. Oh, I'm sorry, I just had to.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Midnight Paco. We finally got Burner here. Yeah, look.
What you mean finally got? You could have had me a long time ago. I had secret beef with you for years, man.
Secret beef.
I did, man. Because you've been doing this podcast for a long time. I was like, Corey's my brother. I've known you for years, and he's not once asked me. I've been doing Puff Puff Laugh. We've been doing this for a year and a half.
Get
now.
Into that, yeah.
Let's and you and I had to hit you up and say, "Hey, man, why ain't I been on this goddamn show yet?" And you like, oh, you gave me the whole, you know, you gave me the PC shit. Our doors are welcome, man. Our doors are open, man. Anytime, Burner. Anytime for you. And I know it is anytime, but I needed Corey to call me and say, hey, Burner, I like what you're doing out here, man.
I didn't think you even saw what we was doing, man.
I like everything. It's in one of your posts. You don't see?
Hey, I'm going to say this to you. Why not? Why wouldn't he know what we doing?
Because I know Jamel. I know Jamel.
So damn burner, huh?
Yeah, I know Jamel. Damn, and Jamel burner. Be on Jamel. And Jamel
but
be
Jamel,
like,
Jamel has not let you down, have I?
Nah, man. Right. But I was just like, man, he don't even know I got a podcast for real. Like,
I told you about that.
I was like, man, he don't even know.
You're talking about this podcast when you first started it.
I was like, man. You know.
Well, let's
talk. Okay, let you off the hook, man. You built a nice audience, and you done built an, and you got people worldwide. So I appreciate being seen worldwide now.
But they knew who you were. Now you guys can put a face to the name.
Yep.
Because I talk about you quite often.
Often. Yeah, often. He's brought you up from day one.
That's my fault because I ain't watched the show.
See what I'm saying?
Because I was hating. I was happy on the show. Yeah, I ain't watching this shit.
That's what I'm saying.
Scroll. I like it. Yeah, scroll.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I was like, he don't even know.
I did watch a few shows.
You know, I got a podcast.
People that I knew that, you know, I have watched a few shows. I fuck with y'all.
No, man, but you know what? To be honest with you, like, and I'm gonna say this because like Cleveland is a rough entertainment town. Anybody that's doing something from here and they mess with you and you got the pros crying, talk about I'm not ever getting back to Cleveland.
Yeah, the fact that Eric said that is kind of like
I didn't even say his name, but you know,
I'm just saying you can say it, fuck him. We that's who we perform in front of all the time, my nigga. Like all we do is perform in front of Cleveland crowd.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like
if you can't do it, then say that. But don't say that.
But you a pro and well respected.
They don't like you. Yeah, fuck Harry's.
I mean, but they showed up there.
They showed up, and he wasn't funny. So I just accept the fact that you wasn't funny. Yeah, don't blame it on the city.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, hold on.
So they went there liking him, but they didn't like him.
I want to just say this. You know, for him being a comedian, being on Mad TV, doing impressions. I'm on the same road. I do impressions. I probably imitate everybody in this room after they leave.
I'm unimpressionable. You can't do an impression of Burner.
He does me, even though I'm,
it's not hard to do.
Yeah, I don't know how.
No, but I'm just saying, like Ari Spears. It's not hard. I ain't gonna lie. That bothered me when he did that because I'm like, bro, I kind of like looked up to your.
It bothered me too, but I said he was correct. Cleveland crowds are very hard to perform in front of. And sorry that you feel the way you feel, but you know what I'm saying, he was right. It's Cleveland crowds are rough.
I mean, I'd like to have been at the show because look, see, some headliners they come to the Funny Bone, they come to these places, and they're working on their set. You know what I mean? They ain't coming prepared with a set.
They treat it as a lower.
Hold on. Okay.
And so the crowd sometimes what's going on? Why ain't you giving me a good show? And he comes there, I'm just working on some stuff. But let me just say this, guys. And then they're like, F this dude.
Let me just say this for the world. Cleveland is Thanksgiving. All right? This ain't no time to try recipes out.
You got to come with your.
You got to bring it. Cleveland is Thanksgiving.
You can't recipe. You can't get it down from great grandma.
This is, you don't try. Like, let me try this out. No, you can't do that.
Three bean noodle soup. I tried.
Three bean noodle.
Ain't nobody about to try your new three bean. This is Thanksgiving.
Cleveland is Thanksgiving. We can try new shit, folks. This is Thanksgiving. You can't experiment or try this for the first time. You gotta. You have to be proven, and
I'm telling you,
it has to be legit. When you come here, like Ari Spears probably thought it was going to be a cakewalk because you're a celebrity and everything. And, you know, you do have fans here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and I was still a fan until you said all that stuff and said that, you know, we're like mindless.
But, I mean, as a comedian that's been in front of Ari Spears has been in front of a million crowds, he should know. Sometimes you just don't have a crowd that night. And if you're not able to, you know, that's why I say comedians like Dave Chappelle and Patrice O'Neill are like my heroes because.
They ain't get hooked.
And Bill Burns, because they pride themselves in losing a room and then getting them back. You feel what I'm saying? Like, they don't care if you don't like a joke that they say, but they'll get you back. You know what I'm saying? Getting the get back part is hard, but if you know, if your mentality is there, then you don't let the joke that didn't work take you down. That's what I was saying earlier. You know what I'm saying? Because there's going to be shit that don't work. Fine, it didn't work this time, but... It should people not laughing or people booing or something like that. I guess I shouldn't say it shouldn't. But for certain people, it doesn't bring them down. Mm-hmm. For certain people that it does, you know what I'm saying. Then they have to find other ways to get over that. But for certain people, and that's, you know, again, those are my role models. So I try to be that way. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying. I try to be someone who doesn't take. Having a bad room. But I say that to say Ari Spears should just know if you got a bad room and you can't turn them, then just say that.
I mean, that's bad, because that's the room of your fans. Yeah. So what the hell? I mean, I wasn't at the show. To be fair, I wasn't at the show, so I don't know how it went, but if that's a room of your fans, and then that's bad. That's,
I mean, I've been funny in front of my fans.
I get it.
That, you know what I'm saying?
But that's what I'm saying. I don't know if he treated it as such or if he just went
again,
there.
That's
like,
what I'm saying. As
I'm gonna
comedian,
get some money for my gat. You know, for
as
my
a
bus.
Comedian, he should have known better and been better about it. Yeah, maybe, you know. And yeah. He had a, you know, he said what he said, and he got a right to say it. But
right,
you know,
right.
It comes across as like, nigga, you're a comedian. You had a bad weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, I want to change this channel a little bit. Right. I want to go to the music part real quick.
You know, that's one thing I like about you, Corey.
What's that?
I love that you have always been a fan of my music.
Your music was dope.
Yeah. Like, again, I ain't nationwide. I've been Cleveland only, but you've been exposed to and a fan of music like since the 90s. Like, the music that I've been putting out.
I like good music, man. Yeah. It's good music, and it's just like,
this dude's wild.
I appreciate that of you, because you've always told me that.
Yeah. So he go, okay, all right. So by you being music, so you've been a fan of music as well. Sure. So all right, so look, check this out. So if when you first heard ASAP Rocky,
mm-hmm.
didn't you think he was from Cleveland? Wasn't that the Cleveland sound, like his first single? It sounds so Cleveland.
Mm. When I think of Cleveland sound, I think of things that don't. This is not ASAP Rocky. I'm not a fan of the Cleveland sound.
I get it.
The Cleveland sound that they portray out there, and it's because I come from the you know the 90s boom bap backpacky mm-hmm. era, and I formulated a lot of my fundamental hip hop views and liking pleasures off of that. So when I hear I moved off of dope beats and lyricism. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? ASAP Rocky had lyrics. I wasn't necessarily at the time when I first heard him. What was his first single?
I forget the name of it,
but I wasn't a fan of the beat initially.
That was some Cleveland shit, though. Straight.
And it might have been, but I heard the lyrics behind him, so I was a fan of him lyrically. And then when I started hearing him over beats that I liked, I became a bigger fan.
It changed, but his first single was like, whoa, that sounds very Clevelandy.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying, though. Yeah, it's a weird thing that Cleveland sound, because what pisses me off about Cleveland musically is that we're surrounded by Detroit, which has a musical sound, mm-hmm. Chicago that has a musical sound, even Pittsburgh got something, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. that they say this is some Pittsburgh shit with, what's the nigga named Wiz, and all them, fuck Pittsburgh, but
for real,
and then even Buffalo, you know what I'm saying, good. Which is 2 hours up, you know they got
with the Griselda and all them.
So it's like when you look at Cleveland, it's like it makes me upset that we haven't made a bigger musical mark.
I mean, we have, but it's been it's been
in funk and R&B.
It was changed because
I mean, how can you get bigger than Bone though? I mean,
but Bone wasn't.
But even before Bone. You gotta think that, you know, that people think that the California sound is California, but it's actually it's Ohio. I'm gonna say Ohio versus Cleveland, because you know Zapp and Roger, Ohio, Lakeside, Ohio, Slave,
Bootsy,
all that's Ohio, Slave, Ohio,
that's all Ohio,
Ohio players,
OJs,
you know, and then you got the Kinsmen Dads and all that stuff. So and the OJs,
So we have our market like that here. So I maybe have to do, but I'm talking about like when it comes to hip hop.
When it comes to rap or hip hop, I think
there's Bone. And then what?
Well, you before Bone, you had MC Chill.
Now we had a run with Chip the Ripper and Ray Jones.
Yeah,
we
had a
small Chip. We had a small run, but
they had they was the first crew that actually had the sound.
Bees and Train,
Brothers Struggle.
And I know I'm on.
How about this?
Can I say this real quick? The reason why Ray.
The voice you're hearing is Gene Miller.
Oh, I mean they
Gene Miller. Go ahead, Gene.
Go ahead, Gene.
The reason why Ray and all of them worked is because they actually had that sound.
For the radio.
No, that Cleveland sound that make you bop. Cleveland got a bop to it.
Yeah, it may not pick him up, but.
You hear me?
Hey.
He said Gene said Cleveland got a bop to it, and they do.
It's the same bop that Brothers from the Struggle had. Yeah. It's the same bop that MC Chill had.
MC Chill.
You feel me?
Did Bone have Brains. That bop?
MC Brains.
Brains was one of them too.
Shout out to Shannon Brains. The Shannon Brains, yeah.
Bone actually put the funk to it in a different way.
Yeah.
They harmonized.
Yeah.
And they made it funky.
Yeah. Bone's harmonizations and cadence is they set a trend with that.
Yeah, they did. Yep. Yeah, they did. But it was so cool as fuck. Yeah.
I didn't appreciate it at the time. I think to this day, I probably only like 3 Bone
songs. It's the Cleveland in you.
I'm going to accept that because Cleveland niggas are haters. But, and I'm a hater in a lot of ways. I don't hate on Bone because they did what they did. I didn't like Bone for 2 reasons. Number one, I didn't know what the hell they were saying. And I hated any nigga that rap. I knew a dude who knew every word to every song on Bone's Eternal 1999. Every song, he knew every word. People who know all the words. People who knew all the words made me upset because, like, how do you know
it's so strong?
Well, look.
That's Spike Lou back there.
You hear the voice.
Hey, shout out to Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Shout out to them, but I didn't.
This nigga didn't say fit, nigga. I mean, they used to chase me home. Yeah.
Hey, we got Gene and Spike Lou.
Check out their episodes. Yeah, they're the Pump Puff Faff. They've been on the show.
Pump Puff Laugh. It's okay.
I'm sorry. They are like, you know, family of the Midnight Paco podcast.
Yeah, they are.
Midnight Paco.
But yeah. I also wanted to say, like, it was a time that I couldn't hear lyrics at all. I couldn't understand them. I thought it was amazing when people would rap stuff because I couldn't hear the lyrics.
I didn't like it because of that, and then I didn't like it because of my church upbringing, and they was real big into like devil worship and shit.
Yeah.
So those two things made me not like Bone.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
All right. So
that's
legit.
But you know what? Grave Diggers was hard though.
You talking about with the RZA
and Prince Paul and this?
Man.
The Grave Diggers was kind of hard though. Even though they was into that hardcore shit too, it was kind of like. But that's where you see the difference. It was like, you know, hip hop.
Different.
You know what I'm saying? Prince Paul and RZA, you know what I'm saying, was giving me some hip hop behind that evil weirdo shit. So I accepted it because of that.
But you like 3-6?
I was no, because of the name.
Okay.
Swear to God. When I saw the name 3-6 Mass, I didn't like Project Pat either.
Okay.
I was not a fan of that music.
What?
No. Again, that's just with my hip hop upbringing.
Man. I mean, I'm with him on that, but.
I was a fan
Project
of.
Project Pat got a style.
I put it like this. I may have listened to Project Pat, but I never.
You know, that's hard.
Yeah, I never bought that album. I never bought a Project Pat CD tape or anything. I didn't do that. I never bought none of the, during the Master P era, not nearly one album I've ever bought. None of that.
I bought some Master P.
None of Cash Money shit. I've never, none of that. Like, that's when I started hating rap music.
You don't like Lil Wayne?
Is when. Because there was a point, I came up. When
was straight hip hop,
everything that came out was dope,
right?
And then it was like, you know, it wasn't even East and West; it was whatever was dope. Because Hieroglyphics and Sons of Mischief, they was West Coast.
It was West Coast. They was straight
Alcoholics. Yeah,
that was
Alcoholics and Razzcast and all, you know, Death Row. Dr. Dre is my. That's my what they call it, the spirit animal. That's my gangster animal.
Okay.
Like, I got my gangster out with Dr. Dre because he was hip hop to me.
So you weren't listening to Spice One and Top Authority and all that?
A little bit, but not as much.
I feel you.
Not as much. You know, I was hip to AMG and Spice One and all them, but I wasn't.
Cleveland's own AMG.
Yeah, yeah. But I wasn't as big into that style of music. You know what I'm saying? I was bigger into the harder, boom bappier stuff, you know, and that's where my ear would gravitate to. So when I would hear anything that wasn't boom bap, like the Cleveland shit, it was a turn off for me. You know what I'm saying? So that's just how my ear had grew in hip hop. You know what I mean? And it was, people say it's limiting, but it's like, you know, that's how you grow your taste. Like, you know, when you was 12, 13, 14 years old, learning, you know, and that was what? That was 88, 89, 90. That's when my hip hop taste was being formulated. You know what I'm saying?
The EPMD, best time, baby.
You know what I'm saying? The Redmans, yeah. the Rakims, this was past the Fat Boy era, past the Run DMC era, past the cool, you know what I'm saying?
Big Daddy
Kane. I was in the era of, you know, Heavy D and the Boys and again I didn't like NWA.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I was a big fan of NWA because Dr. Dre to me was dope. I liked Dr. Dre. I thought Ren was a dope MC.
A lot of people don't know that you was an MC and you made music. A lot of people don't know about your musical history.
I know, that's sad. Because I'm dope.
So just to let people know, like if you were to go on tour with somebody, you know, anybody, past or present, like where do you feel like you would fit and on what tour?
Me and Kanye West.
Kanye?
Yeah, probably. Kanye and Madlib and Dilla.
Whoa,
and,
wait a minute. So you went from
No ID. I'm talking about that range of
this dude making. Said Kanye West. Everybody know who Kanye West is.
Yeah.
Probably nobody in this room know who Madlib is but me.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, No ID and Dilla and RZA. Like
okay, Wu-Tang RZA.
I put my music in that category.
You just went from Pete here, Rock way over there.
Pete Rock.
You know,
that's what I go on tour with. I be on that mega tour.
Okay,
De La, with all them
De La Soul,
Tribe. I can see that.
Say Tribe Called. Yeah.
I mean, but Tribe to Wu, you know what I'm saying? Like that's the range, and that's a big range. I mean, Mobb Deep is included and all that. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't a big fan of DMX when it first came out. I it took me a minute to get on to DMX. Same thing with 50 Cent. But 50 Cent's beats were undeniable, so I kind of was forced to like 50 Cent because I didn't think he could rap too well. That first freestyle that came out.
I'm going to let you in on a secret.
What?
I thought Busta Rhymes ruined Scenario.
Ruined Scenario?
I thought he
ruined the remix. I got that. The remix, I don't think he just was doing some extra shit. But the original, he bodied that shit. Come on now.
I couldn't understand.
He bodied that shit.
I thought he ruined it.
No. Busta Rhymes was that dude for a minute.
Undeniable.
Busta Rhymes' first three albums. But Scenario,
I couldn't stand this part.
Break Your Neck is one of the best for the gym in the world. Break Your Neck.
All that shit, man. Anyway, they had they did a blog called, it was...
The Butter?
No, it was DieHard.com. It was called DieHard.com. Anyway, they asked me to do an article, and I did an article on there called, it was called The Whack Nigga and the Crew. And basically, I went through a bunch of groups that I pointed out who I thought was the whack nigga in the crew. For instance,
did you do
Naughty by Nature?
Vinny
definitely was the whack nigga in the crew.
Vinny can't rap. Vinny can't rap.
He was just brought along for whatever. You know what I'm saying?
You say Jerobi, I'm about to shoot you.
No, okay. I did not even do Tribe. Because Tribe, Fife, and them were just... They were just too dope. Who else did I say? It was about 10 of them.
The dark skinned dude from
8 Ball and MJG. For a long time, 8 Ball was whack to me. For a long time.
Views of Burner are not necessarily.
He was the whack nigga on the group. Until
anyone else.
Until
look at GG play that.
He was the whack nigga of the crew. Who else?
If you said the dark skinned dude and Stetson Sonic, I'm with you.
Pop, pop, pop. One of
them shots. That was hard. That is the day.
I'm down with the Wu. You could have said you got
it. And Wu-Tang probably would have been at the time Master Killer, but I got her. Cap was the band. Master Killer did not work to me over RZA beats. He works better over Ninth Wonder beats. If you listen to all of Master Killer's most recent albums, he's been fucking with Ninth Wonder, and he's amazing.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
So that was me just critiquing, that crew.
He goes deep in the music. You know what I'm saying? That's what it is.
And EPMD, Paris was the whack one for a while for me. You know what I'm saying? It was just the people that I had the least respect for. Eazy-E. He was the very wackest crew in the crew.
Because he sounded like N.W.A. Reason.
Eazy-E was the wackest.
He was like rolling down the street in my 6'4".
He was worse than Yella.
I'm talking about Yella didn't rap. Yella was the DJ. Exactly. I'm talking about of the rappers.
Exactly.
Yeah. Of the rappers.
But he was live in the red. We won't eat.
He was not live in the red. He was not live in the red.
No.
Easy was not live in the red.
He was more exciting.
He was not live in the red, Dre, or Cube. He wasn't.
He was more of a star.
At about
Cube wrote all the lyrics. He sucked. He had to say it after 15 times.
He was reading it. Off the notebook or the
you saw the movie. Yeah. They had to stop at every line. Okay. Woke up quick. Okay. After about noon.
But that created a masterpiece.
For hip hop.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
He was the white nigga cruising down the street.
In my 6'4".
He was a dope nigga as far as I was concerned, but he was the white nigga in the crew. So again, I'm judgmental when it comes to hip hop.
I hope you said Slow Down from St. Lunatics. He didn't say shit.
Who listened to St. Lunatics?
Nelly?
Yeah, he was. Corey got a wide.
Who listens to the same lunatic?
Corey mixes.
Murphy
wild.
Lee is dope.
Who?
Murphy Lee is dope, man.
Murphy yeah, Lee Murphy is Lee dope.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, he's dope.
Damn, Burner. Shit.
I mean, he's no Black Thought, but okay. Mm.
Come on, man. Black Thought is... You can't even... He's no Black Thought.
All right. I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah, there's only one Black Thought. All right. Man, you know, but
he's the GOAT.
Yeah, you know, hey. Look, I felt sorry for Mobb Deep. They were so dope, but they were so young. I'm
listen
like,
to their new album. It just came out.
It's I'm dope. Like, man, come on, y'all. Y'all ain't had no time for kids stuff.
Two singles came out.
Yeah, Mobb Deep. I'm like, damn, y'all ain't had no childhood. Y'all was young as hell talking about a grown.
You know why I think, you know, musically, I feel like we should have been blowing up like years ago, but you know why I think we didn't blow up? Because we ain't got
longitude and latitude.
We ain't got footage.
Well, you know, no.
I ain't got no footage of my old shit.
No, I just.
Niggas that blow up get footage.
I mean, you could put it out now.
No, I'm talking about old footage of me as a kid playing on the piano. He was a prodigy.
He's been trying this whole life.
He's been doing this his whole life.
This is
me beating
on
some drums as a child.
I honestly think it was because it was like, you know, I'm going to be honest. I just think it was just like, you know, most Cleveland artists is y'all arrogance. That's what I really think.
No, we took this shit out of the city. Nappy Head took it out of the city.
I think it was y'all arrogance, bro. I mean,
that was arrogant.
I mean, it was Cleveland arrogance. You don't realize it, but it is.
Yeah, because we dope, nigga.
See what I'm saying? That's what it is. Because it was like
we need them to recognize our dopeness.
I'm agreeing with it. Like everybody that was in that crew, especially freaking Tut. Tut had a sound that was like
shout out to Tut. Yeah, Tut ain't done music in a long time. He's been raising a daughter and doing great in life.
Very domesticated.
He's a rocket scientist. You know that, right?
It won't surprise me. I didn't know what he was doing.
He works for NASA.
It don't surprise me.
The nigga helped
rocking it at the Christmas party.
He helped develop the landing gear for the shit that's on Mars now.
Shout out to Tut, man.
Like, this is a dope Cleveland rapper that's actually one of my friends is a rocket scientist, man. I say that every time I bring his name up. I'm proud of that shit. So I got a friend that worked at NASA that's a rocket scientist that raps.
So
yeah, right.
You got a lot of friends. He got a rocket scientist friend. He got a yoga master friend.
I got a yoga friend.
He got a whole bunch of friends.
Yes.
Which means he knows a cult leader.
No, but I'm just, if you, I sat down in front of all of his Grow Live crew, and I said, look, y'all should do this. They all looked at me like I was crazy. I was like, look, I said, Tut, you're the battle rapper. You know, nobody like Vig. Your creativity is out of this world. Like, you should be like the visual and the creator of all the themes and stuff. I'm like, yeah, I was like, Burner and Sand, like, y'all are the performers, and Pooh, y'all the MCs. And I'm like, yeah, I had it all planned out in my head for them. They just looked at me like,
He said I had a plan for them.
I did.
I see. Now, if you would have walked in there and said, I got this plan, and then sat down a briefcase and said, here's
some money,
then we would have listened.
Yeah.
But listening to a nigga to say, here's what I think y'all should do, usually don't work.
It didn't.
It don't. And that's not pride. I mean, that's not, it's ego, but it's not a Cleveland thing. That's human, man. You hear stories when niggas talk about all the time.
But okay, so now that you're hearing it right now at close to 50, I know I'm 50.
Sure.
Do it make sense?
It always makes sense. This is all about application and access. Access is a big thing. And that's one thing that Cleveland has not had. And I don't know why that is. And that's a bit, that's over my head as far as access to the next.
This was 20 years ago, but go ahead. But did it make sense,
still,
though?
It's but still access.
We had access to national, but we didn't have access to national the way we would now. If I was coming out now, like I was back then, I would know how to get access because, you know, you got the internet, you got everything. Back then, you had to, you know, shout out to WCSB that just went, you know, they just closed the radio station, but the Cleveland College radio station, 98.3, WCSB, 89.3, sorry. WCSB was a radio station that we had to try to get our music on. You know what I'm saying? And with not being, you know, too professional on the music and as far as how the sound, you know, we didn't have mixing and mastering down in the late, you know, 90s, early 2000s. So a lot of that music, you know, no edited versions of stuff, you know, they couldn't play a lot of that.
Sure. A lot of people right now don't even know what mixing down is
now. Yeah. So, you know, we were shooting ourselves in the foot by not having that extra knowledge you know what I'm saying, doing the mixing and mastering of the music and stuff like that.
Being able to distribute it.
Correct. But, you know, we also was looking at motherfuckers like, you know, Master P and people, you know, E-40 and all, who sold their music out to Trump. Yeah, and they was able to, you know, and we did shows every year, I mean, twice a year, the Kings of the Iron Mic, we did Queens of the Iron Mic. It was a lot of stuff that exposed our music, and again, folks like you, we did have a fan base. You know, there was hundreds of people that fucked with us. You know what I'm saying? It's just that it never got out. You know what I'm saying? And there's a lot of reasons for it. It ain't one pinpoint thing. But I think a big reason is access. And once access started happening with MySpace, MySpace was a big thing with music. But I fought that for a long time. I fought the first 3 years of MySpace. I didn't want to get on it.
Right. Fuck MySpace. Yeah, I got you.
I didn't know what it was. I didn't care what it was. I didn't know what it would do.
Right.
And so, you know, you live and learn, and you know, you get old, but you know, I'm still making music, so.
That's super dope. But you know what? I want to.
You said talking about shows and everything. Did you start promote? Like, did you learn how to promote because of that? Like,
do you start my promoting and all that shit definitely started back in my music days. We definitely are throwing all the shows we did, you know what I'm saying? So, translating that into comedy wasn't shit. So, you know, a couple years ago, I had the idea of just putting together a comedy show, and I wanted it to be weed friendly.
Hold on. Like, why are you talking about that?
My favorite play.
Why are you talking about AJ?
Yo.
Do you mind, they got like, you know, like 5 minutes left, the last 5 minutes, do you mind like letting them come up and talking about what they got going on?
Yeah, I can get just all three of them?
Yeah. Come on up, Gene. Ladies and gentlemen, for the Midnight Pocket Podcast, Gene Miller and Spike Lou.
Yeah, come on.
Man, where's
that? The B. Hit B.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Spike. Make sure to check out their episode.
Spike Lou and Gene Miller. Come on up, take my seat. Yeah, BGS Entertainment, we're always promoting because every month we got some shit going on. Shout out to the Midnight Paco.
Shout out
to
Midnight Paco.
Do your thing. Tell them what y'all doing,
because
I love y'all.
Yeah.
What y'all doing? Y'all got the city on
fire. Shout out Midnight Paco.
So, Puff Puff Live, I was getting into about a year and a half ago now. It's been a year and a half ago, you know what I'm saying? I had the idea to put together a comedy show that's weed friendly. I found a venue that was weed friendly at this place called Lounges, which is downtown Cleveland. This guy named AD got this beautiful black art gallery that he opened up for us, and got with these two gentlemen, and we started promoting the hell out of a dope ass comedy show that pretty much brings two favorite things together, you know what I'm saying? Weed and comedy. I mean, who doesn't want to sit back, smoke, and laugh? Now, again, it ain't four stoners. Everybody's invited. You know what I'm saying?
But I love it. It's one of my favorite things. But
Puff Puff Live has definitely caught on in the city of Cleveland. We trying to make it bigger. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, anything y'all want to add about?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just like he said, man, you know, we're blessed to be a part of this, you know. It was something that was started, and we gonna keep going. Hopefully, we get this thing into our third year, you know, which I think is gonna happen. But we got the food truck down there. We got the Lowe's.
Yeah, we feed them.
We got your spirit favorites down there. Yeah. You know, it's a real vibe. You know, it's a place that people, you know. It ain't no trouble, ain't no none of that, man. It's a loving environment. We got a lot of repeat people that we definitely appreciate. Shout out to all our family out there that come back again and again and again. And you know, like I said, man, we got the merch.
That t-shirts, we got lighters, we got ashtrays.
Lighters, ashtrays.
When y'all posting this?
Tuesday.
Okay, so this
next Tuesday.
Okay, so y'all in time for October 24th is the next show.
October 24th.
So you'll be seeing this in time for that.
Yeah, come on down and get hit with the bop gun.
The bitty bop gun.
So with that being said, we also provide a service for small businesses to network and congregate, and we got comedians. All these comedians have been either at, you know, major events like the Funny Bone or, you know, the Funny Farm, things like that. They've toured, so it's not like some poop butt open mic we're trying to overcharge you for. It's a really good show. It's real quality. And we have a few celebrities that step in every once in a while. I ain't gonna name drop, but we, you know, and we also create an environment for those of us who may not partake, you know, in the specific niche of the event. Yep. Yeah. And yeah.
Everybody's invited.
Everybody's invited. Yes. You know what I mean? So
comedians are free, so you yes. have to come down and party
say,
with
say all say
comedians.
Again, man. Are say
free.
It again.
Comedians are free.
Comedians are free.
Can I address that? Cause y'all was talking no, seriously, y'all was talking about the entertainment industry in Cleveland. Number one, I hold the DJs and the club owners accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I say that is the club owners, I start with them. I used to manage. I'm not going to go into all of that. But at the end of the day, I always demanded it. We're not walking in the front door with nobody else. We're the entertainment.
Yeah.
You're not about to treat it. If I'm standing in the line with a nigga, he's not about to listen to what the fuck I'm talking about on the stage.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
If you had to pay to get in, that nigga was standing behind me. The motherfucking boss wasn't gonna let the nigga in. But that I've been.
Yeah, we've been treated that way.
Y'all, I told y'all what I used to do when I was selling and doing my thing. So I've been across the country. And when I went to
sound like a drug mule. Like, no. I told y'all when I was selling across the country.
But when I went to every city that was like a hip hop city, I would say. An urban city. Well, I don't know how to say it, but
mostly niggas.
I ain't wanna say it that way. But
I'm
mostly niggas.
I ain't saying we was in the hood, but we was on MLK Boulevard.
We was on MLK.
I don't know what city it was.
I ain't wanna say that.
But it definitely was MLK.
It was definitely MLK Boulevard.
But as soon as I pulled up, I seen the nigga with a dollar. Yeah. But anyway, one thing I learned about like Atlanta, Houston, these big North Carolina, I would say, definitely Cali. Their local music gets played more than national music.
They support their local.
Yeah.
Well, they ain't actually got a choice.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, the fact that they do, though, is what it is. That's what we're talking about.
I'm going to tell you the real game.
Okay.
They ain't actually got a choice.
But the point that you're making is that they support.
It's a very famous DJ.
Jane, let me add to that, man.
One thing about Cleveland. Yeah. And this is how I put my people that I was on the map and got on the first national 107.9 DJ's mixtape, because I ain't going to say his name. But nigga, if you thought you was about to keep on rocking out at our local clubs and get money in this bitch and we wasn't going to get played or wasn't on your mixtape,
yeah,
you out your rabbit ass man.
I agree.
That's how the game works.
That's what I was going to say, man. I seen a video, I don't know how recent or when it was, but it was a Trick from Detroit. Shout out to Trick. I don't know you, sir, but I appreciate you what you're doing for the culture. And it was him and Royce 5'9 as well. Appreciate you, brother. And he was saying the same thing. You're not gonna keep coming through my city with your tour or whatever you got going, and you know we got talent right here. Like put one of them, you know what I'm saying, somebody on stage.
Yeah,
that's
somebody from here.
Yeah, I think that's only right.
And that's what makes our show successful, because we find the best that most people ain't heard of yet.
Right.
You understand where I'm coming from? Like they got real fire.
Yeah.
Like. And we bring them to our stage because you got an audience that appreciates homegrown comedy.
Yep.
And
it's a good time.
You know, and saying that to say this, that's our mission. You know what I'm saying? Like, kind of as, like, I go to different shows, and this just might be just me, but I'll be like, damn, man, y'all be treating the motherfucking customers like they blessed to show up here or something. God damn. Like, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
We have hospitality. We really love and cherish everybody that
everybody
comes out.
Got a free gift when they get there.
Hey, we start on time.
Yeah,
we start on time. Play with your time.
Doors at 7, show is at 8. We start on time.
And we give them a free gift.
They get a free gift for the door.
But that's another thing, customer service. And that's what I was talking about with the entertainment industry. There's no customer service. This is you booked them as entertainment. They're your customer service for the night.
Yeah.
Treat them as such.
Yeah.
You won't give them a goddamn bottle. Let them smoke some weed in the back. They ain't even asking for nothing. Can we have to smoke weed back there? You know what I'm saying?
So now we got the venue for you.
And then, yo, that's a problem. I seen on some shit, it was like a documentary, and it was an NBA All-Star. And remember Eric Snow used to play for the Cavs?
Yeah, he's fat as shit now.
They was in D.C. And this nigga went to a club. And the security told him, nah, That nigga was fired on the spot, boy. Yeah. You got to know who you got to know. Yeah. Puff Puff Laugh.
Yeah, yeah. October 24th. Midnight Paco. Midnight Paco, we appreciate y'all, man. Y'all fellas is doing a big thing here.
I'm about to go. Come,
yeah, I'm rolling up. Hey, follow Puff Puff underscore Laugh on Instagram.
Puff Puff underscore Laugh on Instagram.
All right.
And we appreciate y'all. Me. Thank you, fellas.
Yeah. Don't get up yet. We gotta close it up.
Hell yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. See? That's what I'm talking about, everybody.
Yeah, we can't
posse
it up.
Dope, man.
The next show. Can't posse it up. Hold on. They gotta close the show out.
The next show is October 24th.
October 24th at Lounges 1547 St. Clair Avenue on the dope side of St. Clair, you know, where nothing really is happening. It's very quiet and you know, not, you know, so don't let the word St. Clair Avenue scare
you. Ain't gonna keep talking shit about St. Clair.
I mean, y'all rep it.
Nigga, this is
fact. October 24th, Dining Lounges on 1547 St. Clair, man. Y'all, it's an experience that you won't forget and you absolutely love. This ain't the normal comedy show.
So people can know it. You guys do it every...
Once a month? Pretty much every third Friday, it kind of works out that way. So sometimes like the dates...
Towards the end.
But third Friday-ish of the month. But it's always on a Friday. And then, like I said, October 24th is the next one. So this is going to be right on time for your fans to come on out and support. Come support, man.
And dope, they got show. Dope comments,
I,
man.
I personally haven't been, but my sister says she enjoys herself every time she comes. Because I be at work.
That's the only reason I got date nights.
Y'all be asking me if I had a home if I didn't have this job. I'll be there all the time. Out
there. Well, there it is, man.
Excuses.
Well, again, y'all get it free. So if you ever call off work and say fuck that job and want to come support, man, like,
sure. I'm about to put Burner on blast.
Oh shit! I thought we were closing the show out.
Burner used to be like, "Yeah, man, come to the show, man. For you, man, I'll charge you $13, man. Come on to the show." He would send me these texts like, "Yeah, man, I got you."
No, you $13, man. You remember there was a different iteration of Puff Puff Laugh in the beginning. As we transformed into our current iteration, that has all changed. So you comedians are free, okay? And it's been that way for a while.
Okay,
so don't worry about that.
All right, yo Jay, where can they find you, baby?
Everybody, you can follow me at Justin Full Comedy on all platforms.
I am the underscore great underscore CoreE. That's where you can find me, or you can find us both at the Midnight Paco Podcast.
Midnight Paco.
Where can they find you?
Burn216, Puff Puff underscore Laugh on all Instagrams and all that shit. And we on Facebook too, Puff Puff Laugh. And you can find me at the show. Come to the show.
That's what's up. Check you out next week. Peace out.
Midnight Paco.
Midnight Paco. Midnight Paco Podcast. Midnight Paco Podcast. Midnight Paco Podcast.